Sure.
Alice, how are you?
Great. Good morning. How are you, Sean?
I'm good actually. It's 6 o'clock here.
Awesome. So you get to relax over here. It's noon in Austin, Texas. So just getting my day started. I'm a late night person.
Oh yeah, you well get to relax. Would you believe I'm after putting in 22 hours cleaning the house?
Wow.
The
Yeah,
last
that inspires me. Actually, that's something of my goal today is to clean up my room. That's where chaos lives, and it's going to be addressed today.
Well, you see, it must be the time for it, because I'm after literally putting in about 22 hours in the last 2 days, cleaning the house. One trailer load of rubbish, or garbage, as you call it, I brought to the dump, and I have another trailer load for tomorrow. 11 years in the house, and finally feel like the house is back to the way it was pre-children.
Well,
Children, for anyone that doesn't have children and your house is spotless, if your children are fantastic at dirtying houses and breaking, do you know what someone said to me the other day, actually? Children cost roughly about 200,000 to get to about 20 years of age. And I was going, I'd say it's probably a bit more. Nobody's accounting for the breakages. Children break everything. They just break everything. They just do, don't they?
You might be able to create your own line of insurance with that claim.
It'd be some insurance claim, wouldn't it?
For
200.
all the things that your children will break, we'll cover that for you.
And you know what? I have to throw this one in. I don't think you can get insurance for your heart. Because they fucking break your heart. Yeah.
Well, yeah, along with some healing, but hopefully that you're getting a sense of satisfaction, but also combine that with your love for kids, not necessarily imagining back where you were when you didn't have kids.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I am being honest. The house is back to the way it, pre-children, it's way back. Like, when I say gutted, I gutted it. Like, I was kind of a bit like Israel all day. Fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. Everyone that was coming in, I was just shooing them. Get out, get out, get out, get out, all day long. You know the way Israel is, just no matter what goes near them, they just get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. That's a joke, by the way. But I was a bit like Israel. Go on, get out, get out, get out. Everyone that was coming near me, I was just getting rid of them straight away. But I'm very proud. Everything is done. I've decluttered the whole house from tip to toe, except for the kids' bedroom. I'm not doing the kids' bedrooms. I let them be their own thing. But I'm very proud of myself. I'm very proud of myself. The house is spotless. Yeah.
Excellent.
So I feel great. I feel great coming into this podcast, because we're going to be talking about Dave Chappelle, right?
We can. Yeah, we can talk about Dave Chappelle. He's
Before it now, as you kind of know a little bit about me, I love humor and I love joking, and I'm Irish and we're bastards, and we tend to have the darkest sense of humor on the planet, which is why we're an island, because we would be killed. We do come out with anything. But I did want to talk to you about humor and about transgender people and humor, and rather than me diving in, I'm not going to be ignorant, because I don't know. I mean, the culture of Ireland is different than the culture of America, so I'd be foolish to say, "Ah, sure, can't you have a laugh?" when I don't come from America, you know, the type of way. So, how will we start this podcast then? How do you find Dave Chappelle's The Closer? That'd be a good opening question, I suppose.
So I watched an overview of the performance. I didn't watch the whole thing. It was just highlighting all the trans jokes, just to get a context of where he's coming from. And I see that he's changed up his material since last. Before that premiere, he was going straight to if a trans woman can identify as a woman, I can identify as a rabbit or something like that. And that's a very old joke, and it's really been beaten down. This time, he got stuck on a trans woman's bottom surgery, just talking about genitalia, which I'll be happy to talk more about that. That's also just a beaten down joke. And then, but then the other one I would give him credit towards is the alphabet soup. And he was talking about, he made the metaphor of, you know, one person per letter and how it looks like in the van, you know, so where, the joke was, is like, if you have like the whole LBGT queue and, yeah, and one man trying to get along, you know, the person at the wheel is a gay man, then right next to him is a lesbian woman, and they have a bi person in the back seat, and in the backpack is a trans person, and there's the queer person that was hitchhiking that jumped on. And so the relationship is like, well, the first at the helm, who's in control, is the gay community, and then next up we have the lesbian community that's bitter but also has some influence. And the relationships that he was talking about, that was pretty close to my experience. You know, is when for people that really hold on to those labels, you know, it just creates these little sub communities, and then you have these little fights in between for our differences. So that was entertaining, not necessarily funny, just because, you know, it's like I got to the point where it's like that's just not gonna be a part of my life. I'm not gonna choose one of those labels, even though I'm transgender. I use that word more in terms of ability to engage in discussion, but, you know, I'm striving to just be Alice, you know, be done with the alphabet soup. So, but the big thing for comedians right now, for male comedians, is talking mostly about, when they talk about transgender community, they get zoned straight into the bottom surgery for a trans woman. Yeah. And there is a strong fixation about how a male can have surgery in order to have a vagina by the end of the surgery. And this disgust about how this is like sort of like the bottom of the barrel of women that you can choose to be with. And I get that there's the shocking factor, like, oh my God, you know, someone like me can turn into a woman that they think they're a woman, right? But you know, in terms of the humor, I see humor from both sides. One, okay, so here's a great quote. I do recommend for viewers, if you're listening in, if you do want to get a context of humor for the transgender community, to watch the documentary Disclosure. That's on Netflix, came out in 2020. And they do a great job summarizing media since picture film, and how we've been depicted as villains and as lunatics and killers and all sorts of comedic figures that can just be looked down upon. And but one quote that's mentioned in there is that 80% of people in our society today do not know a transgender person.
Yeah.
80%, right? And not only that, but for our trans youth, they don't know a transgender person. So it's quite a vast number. And when you add comedy to this subject, what are you going to make fun of if you don't even know the person? You're going to make up what's fun in the media that you've been exposed to by other people that don't know transgender people. So there's a lot of humor that we actually share in the trans community. But just people don't get, they don't get the humor, because they don't understand the dynamics of our relationships when people get confused of who we were in the past, you know, versus, like just constantly going towards like body surgery.
But I mean, just like I done the joke on Israel, right? You know, I don't know anything about Israel. But and I'm sure there's people in Israel are going, that's not correct. That's not correct. That's not correct. You know what I mean? Israel has their own history and all that. But it's in the context of a joke. When I'm saying Israel are like, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, it's a joke. I don't mean it literally like Israel are like that. It's just a perception, I suppose, from the outside world looking in. I might be a million miles off. I probably am. But in the context of a joke, it's a joke.
Well, the joke is, I mean, humor has both light and dark to it. So the joke is here. And I this is fresh. I just I went to a workshop yesterday around trauma. So I'm going to relate a joke to trauma and a baby context, because I'm not educated on trauma. But the idea that is, you know, Israel likes to push people away in order to clean up and keep peace, right? And from our perspective, that event is humorous, because all it is just hearing these news about trying to push out these different groups out of Israel, you know. But the same event from someone that's in and has been seeing war this past year, you know, is going to have a different context, because they've probably seen bloodshed and corruption and all these things. Mm. But, you know, and that form of this event is traumatizing for the person that has actually dealt with it versus someone that's looking on the outside. But yeah, that is a joke. Any joke that you make can be in the context of humor and finding what feels like a communal understanding. And then there's going to be someone that's going to be hurt. That's a part of humor, you know. Yeah. So I can get humor when people are making fun of transgender people, mm-hmm. you know, but I also see the dark side. It's like you're actually laughing at people that have several hundred people died, you know, because of hate crimes. But you don't see that because you're seeing from a media perspective. And I can understand that's hilarious to you. But if I were to bring up that fact, it's going to feel like more of I'm being territorial when I'm really diffusing the humor in it, because now they're seeing a second perspective, and that's no fun, right? That people want to have a laugh and to have pleasure out of the experience. So it's almost worth not talking about this so that a group of people can enjoy difference.
Yeah. And do you find it funny? Do you, like, I'll give you an example. If I heard a joke about an Irishman, I'd find it funny. Now, again, I'm dark humored. I mean, right, my hand is deformed, right, from when I slid it, okay? And when I was, now people that listen to the podcast notice, when I was lying in the hospital bed, my brother came in to me and he said, "How are you?" I says, "I'm not too bad. I was in the library. I was going to get you a book on suicide, but I was afraid you wouldn't bring it back." Mm-hmm. And I was still in the hospital bed and I was like, "That's a bit soon." And he says, "It's good," which it was, because I do tell that joke now, but it was just 2 days afterwards. It was a bit too close to the, you know, too close to the bone, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But the humor behind it was there. You know, the type of way, but 2 days after I'd done what I did to my wrist, I could see the humor in it. I just couldn't feel it. I felt it about a week later. I was like, yeah, that was a good joke. It was a good joke. But yeah, do you get what I'm saying? That type of thing I would find funny, even if it's directed at myself.
For your experience, because you survived.
Yeah.
And if you look back at it, it's comical, because why would you want to hurt yourself at this point? That's comical.
Yeah.
Right. Like at that point in time, you're not feeling love. I can relate. I've been in those situations when I was in my dark periods. I look back at it as like, why would I want to do that? You know, I'm such a wonderful person. And but for someone that hasn't got to that perspective and to look at the same event from a different context, it'll still be painful.
Yeah. So really then the humor, and again, this is, I'm going to love this conversation because it is literally over and back. There's not me trying to prove a point or you try. It's literally just, we haven't even rehearsed this, which is going to be brilliant.
and we're really talking high level about humor.
Yeah. And so really, would you say then, the humor is lost because the person hasn't accepted it yet?
No, the humor exists. Like, so going back to Dave Chappelle, making fun of transgender people, The humor exists among people that are not transgender. Mm. So, like when I'm watching his skit, and I, you know, I'm an empath, and I see, you know, how his personality is changing, you know, and the people that he's gravitating, you know, like in sense of law of attraction, people that are watching him are all struggling. They all experience frustration, and they love it. They love this humor because it feeds into that cycle.
Release.
Yeah, it's a temporary release.
Yeah.
Because of the frustration they experience in their own lives and their own experience and their identity. You know, it's nice to release by taking out frustration on another minority group. You know, and
isn't that what humor is about? It's that, you know, it's that brief of just, I won't
it's
say
not, it's not clever.
No, but humor basically, it's just a brief moment, and you think you're going this way, and then you go this way. You know what I mean? Isn't like, and I'm not saying against the transgender community or the Irish or the black people or whatever, the Israelis, but that's humor in its own way. As you think you're going one way, and it just slightly turns at the very end, which is why it's humorous, because it catches you off, because you're expecting this, but then it turns another way. But my question then is, is it not an acceptance from the trans community that it is humorous? It's just they might not be accepting it themselves. What do you think?
I'm just thinking about that analogy, how it turns. It can turn into two directions. You know, one of the other repeats we're seeing in history is Nazi Germany, where Jewish people were like just constantly being made fun of in comics. And that did turn, but it turned in the other direction where there was genocide. That could happen again. And not only that, but transgender people and gay people are a part of the Holocaust. So it's beautiful when humor turns the other direction. Mm. When people realize that the joke is actually not on the people that they're making fun of, but the joke's on them.
Right. Explain that to me now, because that's a good one.
So we're making fun of difference, right? It's one thing to make fun of ourselves.
Yeah.
Or it's another thing. Yeah, it's one thing to make a joke that's together, okay, you know, in terms of sharing identity, you know, just thinking of like the US, it's like we feel like we know it all, but we're so inward facing, you know, and we have a lot of ignorance. Yes, yep, this country has a lot of power, but like we're really just not with it with the rest of the world. That's funny, you know, when we think we know it all, but it's just like, just because we're not integrating with other countries, it is really funny. All the other countries looking at us is like, y'all are just so clueless. Y'all are just like a powerful baby that's just controlling the world.
See, that's funny. A powerful baby. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And Trump was a great analogy to that, right? I mean, our president was like a man child. That's hilarious. But the thing is, I'm talking in the context of me. You know, I'm an American, and I'm the baby, and I'm out of my element. You know, so I can appreciate that because I realize that I as this identity holds the ignorance. But pointing outward is a different thing, right? And so that's going to be drawing a line in identities, and that's where the hate comes from. And when you do that, you realize that when you're making fun of a minority group, that in turn you're actually making fun of yourself because you actually don't see the ignorance that you're portraying. So when I watch Dave Chappelle, from a trans woman perspective, I can actually tell that he is struggling with his sexuality because he's attracted to trans women. And this is something I see all the time, you know, where men are trying to make fun, and they're making fun and they're trying to relate towards the masses.
Like the schoolboy, do you remember in school, the schoolboy, he'd fancy someone, he'd fancy a girl and he'd make fun of her.
He's you can see in his face, he's just like completely isolated in these jokes, and he loves it because he's getting, his mastery is growing, right? Yeah. Because he is becoming a master comedian But at the same time, you can see how like isolated and alone he is, because he's getting closer to understanding that he's actually talking about his own attraction to trans women. And every, like, the trans community is going to get it. They're like, yeah, we see men like you all the time doing this, and that's why we're upset. But you don't get the, you don't get it, you know? And so that's humorous, because we're actually,
you're kind of having your own laugh in the background going, I know what you're after, you dirty fucker, you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Ron White, actually. Ron White is, do you know Ron White? He's another comedian. No,
would you believe I didn't know Dave Chappelle. I probably studied the only reason I know Dave Chappelle is through transgenderism. When I was learning about transgenderism, he came up quite a lot. And I never looked at him. I looked at him as a comedian. Like, I didn't look at him. I never watched a full. I watched the closure, but I never watched anything full belong to him, because I don't find him funny right now. When I say I don't find him funny, I didn't find him funny because he's, in my opinion, he's an intelligent man. He's very clued into history, and especially Black history. That's what I got from him. And he's very tuned into his own history, which is why I didn't find him funny, because I'm Irish. I was even talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she says to me, do you have like white supremacy in Ireland? And I actually had to ask her, what is white supremacy? Because this is going to sound weird, but like Ireland really only had Black people coming in a couple of years ago. Because we're an island. We're literally an island. We're not like Britain, where it's massive, like 66 million people. Ireland has 5 million people on it. And the people didn't come here because we only went into the good times around 2000. So you're talking 21 years is only roughly when people started coming to Ireland. So we're not really... We wouldn't be used to white supremacy, number one. The girl was asking me, like, Nazis. She brought up Nazis. And she was like, you know, like, the Nazis. I think the boys would kick the shit out of them if there was Nazis here. They'd be just kicking the shit. I mean, like, you stop all that and they'd kick the shit out of them, you know. We're different. We don't look at things like that in Ireland. I'm not saying we're perfect or we're this or we're that. But I suppose, just like the baby with you, we wouldn't be cultured. We wouldn't be cultured like America. So we wouldn't have, I suppose, that culture that you have, where you're trying to kind of get every nationality, every opinion, every way of life to try and gel together.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But, you know, that also, when it comes to humor, yeah, you know, when you do that, like, what do you have to make fun of? just ourselves at that point, you know?
We do, yeah, yeah. We do. We had a fella called Des Bishop, and he came from America. We had a fella. See the way we took him. But anyway, I think his parents are Irish, but he was born in America. He's first generation, I think, which he could be Irish or American with the way we look at it. But I mean, the amount of fun he made of the Irish was unreal. I mean, he came over here and he just made fun of us. And we thought it was hilarious. We just absolutely thought it was. He said, I never knew, you know, your forehead there. He says, every person in Ireland, he says, when I came to Ireland, he says, every person's forehead was all red. And I just thought that was just the culture, he says. I just thought all Irish people had red foreheads. Because in America, we had a thing called a toaster. But we didn't have toasters in Ireland years ago. We had the grill with the flame. And you'd have to check to see was the toast cooking. And when you'd be checking it, you'd burn the top of your forehead. Mm. So your forehead would be constantly red. That's a joke. Every Irish person can relate to, because when you're checking the flame, yeah, you burn the top of your forehead, right?
That's funny.
He said, I didn't know where all the Irish came with the big red foreheads on them. And I just thought it was just part of the, had a red forehead and a white face. And until I seen that they were checking, I seen a fella, my cousin, he says, checking the grill. He says, what are you doing? I'm making toast. Where's your toaster? What's a toaster? Which is true. We didn't have toasters. And he says, no, you make the toast here. And he says, this big flame would be going across the top of the grill. And you'd be checking it with your forehead to see was it toasted and you'd burn your forehead. But I mean, he came over and he just made joke after joke after joke about the Irish in our ways and how we are as a people. Extremely funny, because that's exactly the way we are. We didn't have toasters back then. You know?
Mm.
So I don't know. I don't know either. I know it's different with the trans community, in a sense of we're not transforming, as in like we aren't transforming from a male to a female or female to male. But like one thing as well, like in England now, we had no blacks, in England, we had no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. And in that way, there was no blacks, no dogs, no Irish.
Dogs?
Yeah, in other words, the Irish were under the dogs. Outside a shop in England years ago, you'd see outside a shop in England, no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. The Irish were underdogs. That's what we said.
Wow. Yeah, I could.
We were, in other words, the English were saying we were lower than dogs.
Yeah. So like when the English go to make jokes towards the Irish, does that bring up any other different feelings though?
No, I remember an English fella says to me once, go on, you Irish bastard. Mm. And I said, at least I'm not an Irish bastard. And I knew he was English. And you'd want to see the confusion on his face. I'd say he went home asking his parents, we definitely did we come from Ireland? No. Did our grandparents come from Ireland? No. Are you sure? Our great grand? I'd say he just like, but that's the Irish. The Irish twist it. You know what I mean? Like when he said, go away, you Irish bastard. Initially I went, at least I'm not Irish. Like back when, the worst thing you could say to an English man is, at least I'm not Irish. In other words, you're Irish. It's like the Beyond Burger that Dave Chappelle said. I thought that was hilarious, because as an Irish man, I'd say, that's the fucking best burger you'll ever taste. You know, that type of thing. I would make that into a really good joke. You know, it's a Beyond Burger. It's not a real burger. I would make, and I think that's the Irish take a lot of flack and then they turn it into a joke. So that could be a cultural thing, because that's our humor.
Well, that's definitely a healthy one for anything that Ireland has dealt with in terms of oppression, in terms of like establishing the nation or like the country and even turmoil. Yeah, you gotta be able to neutralize that tension with humor. Yeah,
absolutely.
And something that the U.S. can learn from Ireland for sure.
That's it. I mean, it's like if, you know, when someone, even in work, one of the boys in work, he says, oh, you're useless. I know. That's it. Still get paid on a Thursday, And that's the Irish. It's like, the Irish do this all the time. You know, they're constantly at you, constantly. I was with your mother last night. Stuff like this, you know. Tell your mother I'll be over again this evening. Constant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
constant. Yeah, I do realize that, like, we do have cultural difference, but in terms of compared to the rest of the world, we do share a lot of same. You know, like, for the during the migration to the U.S., it's like we have a good amount of Irish lineage, yeah. and from the English. But if we talk about humor and differences, say in like South Africa, or Nigeria or the Philippines, that would probably be a different conversation, because that, like today, they're dealing with issues where other countries are taking advantage of their resources, and it takes a bit more willpower in order to be the better person to still hold on to that reverence.
And I think even with South Africa, I'd say they have a good sense of humor too.
The which one?
In South Africa, I'd imagine.
Oh, South Africa. Oh, yeah.
I mean, a really good sense. They'd have to as well, because South Africa came through an awful hard time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine they would use humor as well as their way. That's why the Irish are very humorous. It's a way out of the depression that we came through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people then tend to use humor when they're trying to overcome a very difficult time. I mean, the Americans done it constantly while they were being shot at in World War II, World War I. Come on, get up over there. You'll be going to work tomorrow and your man with no legs. You know that type of way, just to get them through the day. And I'm just thinking as well, and I could be a mile out, if the trans community were more accepting. Now, that's easy for me to say. This is where my ignorance comes into it. I'm just asking your opinion. If they were more accepting in a sense of when Dave Chappelle is making jokes that they laughed back, in other words, going, that is classic, but what about this? I wonder would the humor be as much then, because it's, you know, when it's like, as I said, when someone's trying to slag, do you know what I mean by slag? Do you know what
by
I mean?
Slag?
Slag, mock, I suppose you'd say mock.
Okay.
Yeah. When someone's trying to mock me,
mm-hmm.
I completely turn it back on them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's very little. It's like...
So, but you're talking about your own experience. And you've gone through a lot of self-healing. But for the folks that are still holding on to bitterness.
No, but I mean, that's... I would be like that 20 years ago when I was in my darkest state. That's actually... Would you believe, in all my healing, the only thing that didn't change was my humor. Probably got worse, if I'm being honest, because now I'll joke about anything. before I would kind of, now I'd. My humor was the only thing that it didn't change. My humor 20 years ago would be, I'm probably worse today because I'm sober, as in, like, I know exactly what I'm saying. I know it's pushing it. I know it's a lit. Like, I was joking about the COVID last week at a wedding. They didn't find it funny. I found it funny. they didn't find it funny. And it was a simple joke. In other words, I was going, I'm dying of a heart attack. Not to worry, it's not the COVID. Because it doesn't matter what you have now unless it's the COVID.
Yeah.
No, thank God it's not. In other words, even if you're dying of a heart attack, thank God it's not the COVID.
So I'm thinking about, like, so when comedians are introducing, like, different material for the trans community, there's actually comedians that are doing this successfully.
Yeah.
I've seen comedians here in Austin where they make some funny jokes about just being in these situations with their friends that are trans and gender neutral. Mm. But the humor is funny because they get it.
Yeah.
They actually have friends. There are trans men, trans women, non-binary people. And so the humor sounds completely different. Not only that, but they make fun of themselves whenever they make a mistake with around, like, pronouns or they themselves are gender neutral. There's actually a lot of comedians that are some sort of LGBTQ plus identified. And hearing that from that perspective, things get really witty in terms of like these that we put with stereotypes, with particularly men and women.
Yeah, I think I'm getting where you're coming from. So, because it's a bit like me, I can talk to someone with BPD and the humor I will come out with to that person is well over the line. But they know I'm telling a joke. And we might never have spoken previous to me talking to them. But they can feel it off me that it's a joke. It's not me trying to get a dig. So then I'm kind of thinking here, if you say you know you can feel the humor, do you think then Dave Chappelle is trying to get a dig in at you?
A dig, yeah. He's bitter about his experience as a struggling black man, you know, right. and his viewpoint for the trans community are privileged white trans women that have like Caitlyn Jenner, and he's painting all trans community as people like me, right? Yeah. Privileged and have control, and still making ignorance towards. That's returned into the black community. What he's failing to see is that we are trying to make change. You know, like for that there is truth in terms of trans women holding misogyny until they realize the feminine experience and to try to undo that hardship that we've done.
You probably 99% of the listeners will understand what you just said, but what's misogyny?
Misogyny. Oh yeah, that's that's whenever men were to take advantage of any situation from their privilege. So there's a lot of privilege that men don't realize. And so it's easy for them to have the upper hand in a lot of situations.
Like me cleaning the house there the last 2 days, that type of thing. Yeah,
that's you being humble and
misogynistic. Is that what you're fucking misogynistic prick? Look at you! You have the fucking house cleaned, you bastard.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not misogyny.
Yeah, right? Okay, you got misogynistic. I think. Yeah.
But it says a lot. And it's okay. You don't know what misogyny is, but a lot of trans women did not know what misogyny is until they transitioned. And then when we started feeling oppression from a woman's perspective and then trans perspective, then you're like, holy shit. White cisgender men have a lot of say and power and control.
So give me a bit of feedback there. What is that like? Because I don't know.
Oh, I mean, like just talking from a woman's perspective in terms of, say, if you wanted to start a business, right, and you need to work with investors, those investors are most likely going to be other cisgender white men, you know, and that just comes down to like good connections and good relationships in order to have that those deals go down so that you can get financing. Mm. Well, not financing, but like investment into whatever you want to start. Another thing is, I don't know, like any sort of like process. I'm trying to think of an example where, you know, like, like getting into like Ivy League school, you know, which I'm, you know, like I'm sure a lot of schools are addressing this, but a lot of times if you have connections, you know, to other people that went through Ivy League schools, which is a lot of white cisgender men, you will have a better chance to get your kids into the Ivy League school just because you're white and cisgender man, you know. I mean, this is where Black Lives Matters come from. You know, it's like the fact that we as Caucasians are not aware of the privilege that we come back and the lineage of where that came from in terms of discrimination, you know, and to be aware of why we have leverage is because of from our ancestors and the things that they have done in order to seek control.
Yeah. Are the black people in America, not going to veer off too much, but are the black people in America, are they badly oppressed in America?
That would really best answered by a black person in America. Right. We have all sorts of perspectives, but yes, there's still racism for sure.
Yeah.
Something that I'm trying to be a better advocate in supporting the black community, especially in the group that I moderate online. I realized that I was admitting men that were putting up the Confederate flag, thinking that they could change. But I recently decided, no, you know, it's like if they're going to be showing any sort of behavior where they're still holding on to ignorance in our lineage about how slavery came about, that's not something I'm going to allow the rest of our members to deal with because regardless of skin color, one tribe, baby.
Right.
You know, yeah. Yeah. We're all one big family.
One tribe, and in the back of my head, I was saying Irish.
Funny.
Oh, I was saying human.
That's funny. No, but you see what you did there. You made fun of yourself.
I will wear a mad tribe, you know. So, yeah, so you think Dave Chappelle then has a kind of an axe. I won't say an axe to grind, but you think he's actually hiding then his own inner turmoil that he might be attracted to a trans.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and his bitterness towards racism, you know. And, you know,
right,
that's
right.
You know, and that just speaks volumes, you know, for what we're doing as a nation. You know, we can do better to address racism and to highlight where we're going wrong. That's coming out of our art form, right? And in this case, it's comedy. So it's leaking out from Dave Chappelle's perspective because he sees the transgender community, and he doesn't even see trans men or non-binary people. He doesn't even see trans women of color, which are actually the majority of the ones who are being murdered. He's failing to mention this or to see this.
Why is it trans women of color being murdered, in your opinion?
It's like a sense of hyper-masculinity in the Black community. And, you know, it's reinforced from all different angles, including from other races, you know. But for men that have a natural attraction towards trans women, they do want to have that connection. But if anyone in their family were to find out, they're made fun of and ostracized. So, they're encouraged to retaliate in a form of violence, right? So, like, when you see media and they're like, you know, like, I'll, you know, they'll go to forms of like murder because they're like, that's how much disgust I have towards these people, you know, that's influenced. But that's just not coming, that hate is not coming just from the Black community, but it's fed from everyone else. On the pressure we put on the Black community. And so like this Black Lives Matter and trying to address trans discrimination, you know, we're doing it together, right? You know, in order for us to be better allies, we have to address the racism, and the Black community internally will have to address the hate crimes. But we're feeding each other that hate. And so yes, there's a lot of situations where you'll hear relationships where a cisgender man is with a trans woman. Oftentimes it's like a secret. Someone finds out and for them to stand up for their reputation, they'll kill her. And or a family member from the guy's side will kill her. And so there's a lot of, I've read several situations where it's like, yeah, like even a mother, like this happened in Ohio, where the mother of the boyfriend actually shot the trans woman, the girlfriend, because of disgust, you know? So a lot of shootings and multiple stab wounds. It's not, it's very common to hear multiple stab wounds, not just one, it's like more like 30 to 50, you know, it comes out of this like deep hate and like self-hate, because it's like, why would I want to be with this type of person? And so they take it on someone else rather than themselves to realize that they have to address their own attraction and understand why they have that attraction.
Maybe they love sucking an old sword.
One more time?
Huh? I said, maybe they love sucking a sword.
I mean,
did you ever hear in Game of Thrones when the two lads were gay?
Yeah,
your one said he's a sword swallower.
Yeah,
maybe that's why they want to kill them, is they love sucking the swords, but then they got caught and they're disgusted about it,
that's part of the misinterpretation. Yes, there are a lot of men that like to be with a woman that has a lady cock, but there's also men that want to be with a trans woman because of where they come from. So that's actually a misunderstanding. It's like, yeah,
that's why I said I come on today, because I knew I was going to be walking on coals very slowly.
Uh-huh.
You know, that type of way. I knew I wasn't going to be able to go across them quickly going, ha, 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 ha. I don't know. I knew I was going to get caught every now and again.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be one of the things, like, if you knew, if you understood that, for the men that want to be with trans women, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of people believe that men that want to be with trans women actually want to be, they're actually gay. And that's also a misconception. They can also be attracted to men. But like if our community actually understood that there are people that are just naturally attracted to trans women and for all different forms, it's not just physical.
Yeah.
A lot of my relationships are not physical. Then, you know, it'd be funny, you know.
So, but the attraction then, is it, because the last time we were talking, is the attraction then the female side of yourselves, is it? In that men love that hyper female side of yourselves. Is that it?
That it's all sorts of different perspectives. It's just like for a cisgender man being attracted to a cisgender woman, sometimes they're attracted to their physical beauty, you know, or sometimes they're attracted to their intellect or how they hold themselves, or maybe they come from a place where they were coming from hardship and they were able, you know, empowering themselves or any sort of these things, you know. It's like, it's the same exact thing for attraction towards trans women. I made a video about this and there's a couple of common ones, right? One would be, you know, trans attracted men, and that's that they choose that identity that specifically has an attraction towards a non-op trans woman, which means that they still have their lady cock, and a lot of times that is physical. But there's also attracted to our femininity, attracted towards our the way that we care for one another because we've experienced hardship, that oftentimes we are like a mother figure from the things that we've gone through. there's a few others, but that's the gist, is like it just kind of goes on. Sometimes it's just about the person, right? For someone to be pansexual, where they don't really look at gender, it's like a cisgender man can be attracted to a cisgender woman and still be pansexual. You just don't see it because you think that they're a regular couple.
Yeah. I was chatting to a friend of mine yesterday as well, and we were on about relationships and stuff like that. I'm more attracted to the, do you know the princess that can do, you know, they're basically a princess. I'm more attracted to the Viking princess that would chop someone's head off while protecting me. Not the fucking princess that can't do fuck all. My attraction is that someone is behind me with the axe also, as I'm holding the axe and we're just kind of going, you have me back, don't you? Yeah, good. Not someone who's fucking hiding under a table and I'm going, will you get out? Will you get out? Yeah, so I'm more, that's where I love my wife, is that she'll kill you.
That's beautiful. Yeah, to know that regardless of the gender roles. And the way that you articulated that, not a label. It's like, this is a story that you like, that's a part of your relationship. Same thing goes, you know, it's the same thing. It's just, there's just a natural pull, and everyone has someone else, you know, if they feel like they're looking for someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing of nature.
It is, you know, like, because you can't, like, I know we're veering off the jokes. You can't help who you're attracted to. That's just you don't wake up someday and go, so today now I'm going to be attracted to women or men or whatever. You just can't help that. But at the same token, I think in any relationship, if you work at it, do you know the one thing I was thinking about today? I keep mentioning cleaning the house because I'm really proud. I'm only fucking saying it because I'm very fucking proud.
I'm proud of you. You are. You stepped into the other gender role and you got stuff done.
I didn't step into that role. I was there. Like, I love that. I like when it comes to organization, cleaning, organizing, like getting everything tidy, everything has a place. I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
I'm not great. Even when I was chatting to one of my sisters, and they were like, oh, isn't that great? And the kids are with you. No, they're not. No, I don't want you around me. I don't want you talking to me. I don't want you looking at me. Even my wife said to me today, you're like a fucking lunatic. What? And I'm like this, taking out my headphones. Every time I'm calling you, you're going, what? I says, I'm in the flow. I'm in the zone. I have to stop the train, get out, look at you, figure out what you want, and then I have to go back on and start the train again. You're going to ruin me flow because I'm in the zone and I'm doing all this. And I know, like yesterday I spent 11 hours doing it, and today was 11 hours, like 22 hours. That's a long time to be doing a house. And I literally only finished and came up here. But no, I'm all proud of it. I'm all delighted. And I love that. I love that now, to be honest with you, because still have 3 children, but now we've a really, really clean house. You just don't get that with 3 small children. And it's going to be easily kept. I love that. That's now. And you see, that's one thing with myself and my wife as well. We're extremely strong together. Extremely strong. You know the type of way? And because this is a joking type of podcast, we would joke in our own weird way with each other, in that sense of she would mock me. Like, she was laughing today. Now, I didn't take the joke because I was like, what the fuck are you laughing at? I says, I'm fucking good at this shit. I'm fucking good at it. What are you laughing at? You know what I mean? You know, I'm fucking better than you with this shit. I'm fucking better than you with this shit. You know, thankfully down to my father, because he would kill you if you didn't keep the house. And I was thanking him as well. I was like, just fair play to you. I didn't appreciate it at the time. But the father would kill you if you didn't keep the house cleaned. He'd fucking kill you. And as I was cleaning today, it was his birthday yesterday, actually. As I was cleaning today, I was there going, Jesus, fair play to you. I didn't appreciate the teachings, but I'm keeping a fucking clean house because of you. Because I had him in my head cleaning the house. I was trying to put away stuff, and I was there going, I don't know where I could put that. And then I just put his voice in my head going, make sure that's gone when I come back or you're dead. And next thing my brain went, ooh, and I figured out where to put it. And you see, even that's a bit of a joke, but it's true, but a joke. But yeah, that's life, isn't it? I love cleaning. I love cleaning. I love it. I love getting awesome. Something like that cleaning.
I would definitely invite you to my house so you can help me with some cleaning.
Yeah, would you believe I said it to my wife today? I said, you know, what I just done could have cost around 600 or 700 euros. Because I love you, I'll do it for free.
Sweet.
And she said, it's your house too. That's true. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, that's it. That is the whole humor. I'm a firm believer. Now, even though there's a lot of chaos and darkness and of course there is. Of course. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say there's not. I'm a firm believer, and I'm only using myself. When you learn to accept yourself, that if somebody says something towards you and you turn it around and put it right back on them, the funniest thing on the planet is when you can turn something back to somebody and hand it right back to them as quickly as they've given it to you, because they're expecting you to have it. You know what I mean? It's like one of the boys in work said to me one day, are you gay? I said, no, but my boyfriend is. And then it says, there's nothing nicer than a big fat cock in your mouth, right? And he turned around and he goes, that's a bit too far. I said, but you started it. So do you see what I mean?
Yeah, because you have no fear of holding that identity.
No.
Right?
No,
it's like that's perfect, because you are returning it back to reflect on your friend that's homophobic, right? Showing signs of homophobia.
Yeah.
So he's just going to get queasy because he realizes that he's actually the joke.
That's it, exactly. And the minute I mentioned the cock in the mouth, I knew that was the winner, chicken dinner. I knew that was the one that would, so I knew that would just so at home, you know. And the minute I said it, you could see it was fucking raging.
Yeah. It's hilarious when you get to appreciate that, because it's like a Just like a sign of hate, and but like you don't have to allow it to continue. It's like you just redirect it and allow them to contemplate. But a lot, you know, for people that are hurting,
yeah, and
for people that are still traumatized,
mm.
you know, that's going to just lash out into like an angry mob, which is going back to the trans community. Majority of our community is holding on to trauma, and it's because we haven't made enough progress. Will it change? I feel like in developed countries for next generation, yes. Does not mean for the rest of the world though. And then there's a lot of countries that are still struggling. But I do feel like, you know, 50 years down from this point, it's like we're gonna have some funny jokes, you know, that's about like calling out people on their transphobia, you know, and just seeing this like you don't get it. You're just really awkward out that you find a trans person attracted. And that's funny to us.
Yeah.
And that was humorous for me watching Dave Chappelle and Ron White. You know, it's like you're just really transphobic because you can't stand that you're attracted to trans women.
And
they get to live with that.
When I was researching the trans community, did you ever hear of a woman called Samantha Lux?
No.
Right. I'm a married man. She's gorgeous, right?
Wonderful.
She is, right?
That is so liberating.
She is, right? I'm a married man. But that's how I'm talking, right? And I was there looking at her and I was going, now look, I'm a fucking married man, but at the same talking, I'm not blind. And when I was researching it, I was looking and I found, you know what I mean? As I said, a couple of months ago, I didn't even know Dave Chappelle and I didn't know anything at all about transgender or Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. And anyway, when I was researching, I came across this young woman, Samantha Lux is her name. And she's a trans woman. I went in my head, jeez, she's fucking good looking, right? You know? So anyway, I was in work. And like, you can picture the scene. I'm a very odd person in my job because number one, I'm not into cars, even though I spray them. So you'll never hear me talking about engines or color or I don't care about that sort of stuff. They're just cars. However, 99.99999% of everybody that goes into the car trade kind of likes cars. It's like someone just landed me in there for the crack. So I pulled up the phone anyway to the boys and went, what do you think you're one? Now we say you're one, that means woman in Ireland, right? I says, what do you think you're one? So, you know, I put on the YouTube and I was showing the boys. She's a fucking fine bit of gear, isn't she? I says, fucking is, right? So I was there showing her own, aren't you? I says, would you believe that? She used to be a young lad. What? She used to be a young lad. Ah, fuck off. I said, I'm telling you. She's a fucking good looking. She's very good looking. Like, she's extremely good looking. And I was telling you, that one used to be a good. And I was watching their faces to see. And I was there going, what do you think now? Would you fucking say no to her if she came up to you in a nightclub?
That's awesome. That's so awesome because you have no problem saying like, yeah, she's amazing. And you're just watching people just having a hard time accepting another human being.
I thought it was I'm gonna for the purpose of because this will go up on YouTube. The amount, like, I probably get about 6 views on Lucha. I have no interest in promoting myself. But at the same time,
but by the way, we did there, and I commend you for doing that.
Yeah.
There's in this situation, there's usually two approaches.
Yeah.
The approach that you did where you're saying like, yeah, she's beautiful. The other approach, a lot of times where men will be like, check out this person. And then, you know, then they disclose that she's a trans woman. And then they all laugh. It's like, oh gosh, no, I would never want to do that. And they all laugh. Right.
Oh,
Yeah. So, but this happens a lot online. Hmm. Where people will immediately do an other, right? And the separation of identity, you know, in terms of like, that's them, we are us, versus making fun and saying, no, she's perfect. And then you see them.
I'm determined to show you. I'm going to show you a picture.
I have no doubt. I've seen plenty of trans women. And yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm very, very good looking person, or woman. And I thought it was hilarious because she's an extremely good looking woman at the end of the day, you know. And as I said to the boys, it'd be fucking hard to say no to her in a nightclub.
Here's a fun observation. When you look at supermodels, and people are like, oh my gosh, they're so beautiful, they're so rare. If you are try to analyze their beauty, what makes them so unique and beautiful is actually their androgyny. So they're picking women that are taller than average. Their shoe size is actually going to be most likely equivalent to yours.
Yeah.
And in their facial structure, you'll actually be able to see more like, say, like a more masculine jawline with, say, like feminine brow bone or something like that.
Yeah.
And so what the this industry's been doing this whole time is trying to articulate on androgyny, but labeled as like supermodels, and then trying to keep trans women out of it. Yeah. That is hilarious. Well, that is comedy.
Door going, I know you're in there, let me in.
That's so funny, because the whole time we are trying to show beauty, and then keeping the actual ones that have this beauty that is just, it comes with our transition, and saying, no, we're not accepting you. We can only accept women, right? But they're trying to find so hard like taller women. But if you ever ask like a supermodel, what size shoe do you wear? Translate it to men's shoe size. You'll find out that it's the same. And like putting it in that perspective, they're like, oh, that's a bit odd, because that's a bit of sameness. And that's uncomfortable, it's just because it's not being advertised in that aspect. It's more of like, this is just a beautiful, tall woman.
Yeah, and isn't there a L'Oreal transgender black woman, trans female, there is, isn't there a L'Oreal? She got fired. She got fired from L'Oreal because she was about racism and about slavery and stuff like that. So she got fired, but she didn't care. Another good looking woman, very good looking woman. Like, look, you know what I mean? I'm not blind. It's not like I can't see that. You're not the type of person. But that's my point as well, is that it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Isn't that it? I wouldn't go for the supermodel myself. Be very hard manage them. They'd be leaning towards the fucking princesses. You know what I mean? Even your one there, like, she's a very good looking woman. Too fucking high maintenance. Too much maintenance with them.
I think I've heard of supermodels where they're go-getters.
Heard
it. I just recently met someone I was dating a supermodel, and they made their money and then decided to make their own clothesline, and they're just taking off with their idea, making their own business. So it's not like all supermodels are not using their brains. It's like they can make use of that opportunity.
See me, my ignorance again.
I just happened to have a conversation about this a few weeks ago. So like humor, isn't that hilarious? That like the world, we think of like this beautiful, and we do it all over the world. We have all different forms of like beauty, but whenever there's like the rarities that get onto the covers of like Sports Illustrated or L'Oreal or something like that, you'll notice there is androgyny.
yeah
no one's talking about it, at least in the western world. In the Eastern world, they use the term androgyny a lot. Here it's like, what does that mean? It's our fucking face.
It's like men are deep down attracted to men, but they can't let on they're attracted to them. that would be just that's be typical men though, falling in love with themselves. But like,
yeah,
what, they do say that, don't they? You kind of only fall in love with someone you look like.
Yeah, and what's so bad about that? You know, I would love to meet someone that's like me, you know, because, you know, I'm awesome.
Yeah. I'm the same. I'm awesome. I do say it to my wife all the time. Jeez, you're the cut of my sister. And you want to see her face when I say that. You could be mistaken as my sister. You look so much like me. I love awesome. That's easily one of the longest running jokes I have with my wife. And the reaction I get every time is priceless. But I'm after losing you.
Awesome.
No, yeah, I do say, "Jeez, you could be mistaken as my sister." And it kills her. It just, she hates that joke. I love it. I love it. Because, do you know why I love the joke? Because she hates it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see, if my wife turned around and went, "Actually, do you know something? I would fancy you as my brother." I'd be like, "Get away from me, you. Fuck off. Hey, get back there." You know, that type of way. And I think that's the thing about humor is because it's one-sided, and I have the advantage because I know I'm going to say, "Jesus, you look like me, sister." And she's not expecting it, even though I'm telling her for the last 15 years. But if she turned around and went to me, "Actually, yeah, I often thought it was you as my brother," I'd be like, "Fuck off. What the fuck is wrong with you? Get out of here." And she would put it, you see, that's humor, isn't it? She'd put it back on me. And then I'm not ready for it. Just think, I'm raging. I said this now because if she fucking listens to this podcast, my jokes are done. I'll never be.
I think this is great. You know, like what you're actually highlighting is so true. Like in our society, I know several couples where I've mistaken them for being siblings than that they're actually lovers. And we don't talk about it as a society. That's freaking hilarious. You know
what they say about incest? It's a game the whole family can play.
That's funny.
Yeah. Someone said to me once, "Would you not come over and do a talk in America?" I'd probably be shot. "You're going too far, Keys. You're going too far." Yeah, but I mean, but you know something? And like, because this podcast was about humor, there's a part of me just after telling that joke, not that one, literally that joke, like if my wife at any given stage turned around and agreed with me as I'm joking, she'd kill it for me. I hope to
she what?
She would kill it for me. She'd kill.
Oh, once it's acknowledged.
Yeah, she'd kill it. Wow. Like, hope she doesn't. Even my head is going, "Oh, you're going to block. I'm going to hide this podcast."
Yeah, that, well, you're sharing a perspective and you want to see her other perspective. And as soon as she sees your perspective, they're like, "Oh, that's no fun. That's no fun.
I'm always trying to get the reaction over. I'm always trying to get that react. And isn't humor that? In other words, like, I remember about a year ago, I was, you know, whatever, I'd be a devil for poking. And she just accepted it. And I went, "Congratulations." She goes, "What do you mean?" "See, when I don't bother you, that's the whole game." And that bit I did want her to learn. In other words, don't be getting annoyed by people. And I'm the same. I get annoyed. Like even today, "What are you looking at? What are you fucking laughing at? I'm working hard." And she wasn't laughing at me. She was laughing at the fact that she couldn't find a fucking thing in the house. She goes, "I don't know where anything is now." "Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that's there and that's there and that's there and that's there." But I mean, that's it. It's when we can laugh at it. But when we can turn it back, it's gone. I mean, if a transgender person, if they're not hurting, can go to Dave Chappelle or anyone else, yeah, Beyond Burger, you'd want to fucking taste it. I'd even put tomato ketchup on it myself, yeah. You know, that type of way. When you can turn it back, it's gone. It's done, it's dusted. See, then, no more than I'm just... See, do you know what's going on inside my head now? My brain is going, You're fucked. Because now if my wife listens to the podcast, every time I'm joking with her and she turns it back, my life is over.
That's funny.
As Dave Chappelle said, funny for you because you didn't experience it. But I'm there thinking, I'm never going to have a bit of crack with my wife if she turns it back on me, because then it's done. I'll have to come up with new material.
Oh, it's so funny. You know, and I'm going to mention to you that I'm also part of the kink and BDSM community. So like when it gets to that sort of topics and you meet people are like, so? So what if you look like my brother or sister? I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, it's like someone said, this is the Irish. Fella rings into work, you know, and he goes, I won't be in today, I'm sick. And his boss goes, how sick are you? He said, well, I went home drunk last night and I rode my sister. How sick is that? That's an Irish joke.
Yeah.
How sick is that? But that's humor.
It's humorous because, all right, so on porn, like Pornhub, you'll look at like the common categories. Mm. The two big ones are step sibling porn and trans women porn. Of course, using different language for that. But these are like two big topics that are hilarious because no one wants to talk about it. Right. You know, and it's only when you're comfortable with yourself and understand it's like there's nothing to really be afraid of there. Yeah. But when you're surrounded by people that are just paranoid because they're watching this porn, and they'd be in so much shock if someone would find their history on their browser if they knew they were watching this sort of porn.
Yeah. There's some lads, there was lads at work and they were saying, could you imagine giving your phone in to be fixed? One of them said, I'd burn it.
That's funny.
I'd have to burn it, he said. That's what he said. I'd have to burn it.
Uh-huh.
One of the funniest things is like where your man's having a heart attack and he says to his wife, I'm having a heart attack. And she goes, quick, give me your phone. What's the passcode? And he goes, I'm okay. Yeah, you know, he didn't want to give her the passcode. Do you know what? You're making me think there. I was listening to a book on statistics, totally off the podcast, totally like not humorous this. But I was listening to a book on statistics on the internet about web searches, would you believe? The most common web searched pornographic thing is a fella looking up his mother.
Wow.
Number one, this fella done statistics on the internet, what we look up, what we're interested in, our Google searches, that. I couldn't tell you the whole book, but I was listening to this book about statistics and how much we think we live in a society of, I think the book was basically, you think you know somebody, look up their Google searches. And that's what it was about. It was like, this is the person that's presenting themselves to the world and this is their Google searches. And he was going through the top Google searches on the planet and everything, you know, what people would. But when it went into the pornographic section, number one is a man looking up a mother, son. Yeah. Number one. Uh-huh. Number one on the planet, mother, son. Yeah. So yeah. For all the men listening in, happy days. I'm going to be killed this fucking podcast. Not alone am I ruined. I'm going to be killed.
No shame. I think it'd be pretty fun to throw out there. It's like one of my kinks is called, daddy middle. So that's like for my partner, I like to be like a bratty teen and treat my boyfriend like a parental. And he just had to deal with all my antics. And I just love it.
No, again, ignorance. So in other words, is he like your daddy? He's like your dad father, is it? And he is to treat you like your bold teenager, is it?
Yeah, he's like my boyfriend, but he also acts like a parental.
Okay.
And it works because we have an age gap. But yeah. Of course, it doesn't have anything to do with my biological father.
I know.
But I just love to mix those combinations together. And so I know for my friends that are listening to this podcast, they're like, you're talking about this. Come on, Alice, you got to talk about your identity here. Okay. So, yeah, but there's no shame in that. You know, it's just being like a bratty teen. And but it's cute stuff, you know, like we all get to go and like get ice cream together or like have cuddle time. And I love it.
Right. Because I've never heard the term before. A bratty. Is it bratty teen or what's it called?
Bratty. Oh, yeah. That's a kink term, meaning like, in terms of like a dom sub. So like if someone were to act exercise like control, like so bratty is more like pushing on whoever is supposed to be in control of the situation.
I did tell you in the beginning of the podcast, we only had got toasters a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I'm at all sorts of friends.
We're not there yet. We get these terms. We only got toasters. Give us a fucking chance.
Not many people know about Kinker BDSM. Yeah. They know like 50 Shades of Grey, and I honestly have not seen that movie just because I know it's like a horrible portrayal on what kink and BDSM is. But that's what it means. A different form of like a consensual act of like power dynamics between a couple, consenting adults.
The minute you mention kinky BDSM, I'm picturing him tripping and hitting your head clean into the face. See, I can't help how my head is. I can't help it. And you're there going, you fucking bollocks, yeah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't quite look like that.
That's you see, the picture I'm getting is not. It's not marrying in. That's not marrying. I was picturing you strung up, and you're fucking strung up like this, and he trips and buries you with a head into the face.
Well, Sean, you're so lucky to be in the UK because this is such a big thing in the UK. You can easily connect with the community there.
See, there you go. There's the biggest joke I've ever heard. We're not the UK.
Oh.
We're Ireland. Yeah. Now,
That's right.
Wait.
Ignorance over here.
Oh, but there you go. There's a perfect, because that is like literally the worst thing you could say to an Irishman.
Yeah. That was me and my ignorance.
No, but I mean, it's grand. We're just not. Look, the best thing about being Irish is you're not English. That's a fucking joke as well. But yeah, you see what I mean? So, you know, like you said, UK, that's like just, yeah, that's the worst. Yeah.
So a one for one.
A one for
with,
one.
With the trans joke you made earlier and then me making you feel like, that y'all are just the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, there you go. See the comeback straight away.
Just from ignorance.
Just natural. It's just natural. Mm-hmm. But yeah, listen, I think we've covered quite a lot because my brain is going, you'd want to get off now before your wife fucking kills you. It's actually not even on your end. I'm looking forward to getting off the podcast for me because I'm actually getting myself into more trouble with this podcast than any other one on the basis of it.
Awesome. I'm glad I can help.
If my wife, if my wife listens, which not one joke I'm going to say to her from now on, she's going to be like, turn it back on me. Probably be divorced. Going, I want a divorce. Why? Because I need to be able to tell jokes, and you need to.
I'm glad I could push you into your and the fringe of like your comfort zone.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to come up with better ones. That's what's going to happen. I'll be pushing the line further out.
And of course, what I shared, it seems so taboo, but. I mean, like, there's a lot of that dynamic in our relationships, like where we need to like have a caregiver, like where one of our both are coming from a place where they didn't have the best parents, and to speak that in their relationship, to have comfort and have like say like have their back, right, to make sure that they're, that's all tied in, you know, it's just it's a little bit more. I guess, amplified and in different ways that you can express that sort of energy.
And it kind of does, it fills in the need, doesn't it? It fills in that need. You get to fill in the need with each other.
Yeah.
Would he fucking hit you? Do you ever get the slap in the back of the head from the father? Do you know
what I mean? No. It's always on the ass. From my boyfriend, not my dad.
Yeah, you're missing out. I don't know if it's an Irish thing, but the father, it's not exactly a slap as in into the back of the head. It's more of a graze. It's, in other words, the hand barely touches the back of your head, but just enough to know that you got a slap, and it grazes off the top of your head. It's like a slap in the back of the head, but it just grazes off the top of your head. In other words, get on, you fucker. I'm just gonna say it to you. Did you ever get one of them slaps off him? It wouldn't even hurt you. You could ask him to do it. You could say, listen, there's a fucking little thing like an Irish slap in the back of the head.
So I don't know. Are you talking about my boyfriend or my actual dad?
Your boyfriend. Your father's too old at this stage to be hitting you one of them. They're when you're younger. That's when you're younger. You get the slap in the back of the head. You're like, fuck's sake, the messing.
I'm sure if I called him over here and he learned the technique, he could try.
Now tell him, obviously, not to hurt you. It has to graze. It's basically, you just feel it. You know it's there. It's like, get on, get out.
It's funny because as we're talking, he's actually walking out of the door. He can probably hear us right now.
In his sense, he could be saying, get into bed.
Get into no.
That's actually, that's actually more or less when you get the slap in the back of the head in Ireland. Get into bed. And you get the slap in the back of the head. You want for your fucking BDSM? You heard it here. You want any tips on BDSM? It's where I had a fucking dungeon over here.
Well, I'm sure there are dungeons in Ireland, not the UK. Oh, they're also. Yeah. I know it's big in England, but yeah.
I'd say there's one or two. We're not that like. There has to be. You know what I mean? We did get toasters in the 90s. There has to be. There has to be. I see.
Yeah, for the people that I've talked to in the community, like on apps, it's like there's a lot of presence. I know in England. I don't know about Ireland, but yeah, they're so close. Y'all got to share these things. Liberate yourselves. Have fun.
We're so close, but it's you're so close to the Mexicans, but it doesn't make you Mexicans. And the Mexicans are so close to you, but it doesn't make them American.
Right. But we share a lot of culture, you know.
Do you? Yeah. No. Well, I suppose the English, we would share a lot of culture with them. More Viking, though. We're more berserk. We're more Viking, you know. That's where I was only saying today with the blonde, not blonde, but the Irish with the blonde hair and the blue eyes. We got that from the Vikings, you know.
Yeah. Y'all definitely have BDSM clubs then.
bound to have one or two hidden away. I just don't know about them. I shouldn't, like, thankfully, I'm with my wife 20 years. I shouldn't know about
this. This would be a great anniversary event to go to. You two go to a BDSM club and have this experience of what in the world it means.
No, I got the shy. I got enough of the shy kicked out of me when I was a young lad. I'm done with getting the shy kicked out of me.
Yeah, well, your wife hasn't had the chance to yet.
Someone tied me up and came near me. I killed them. The fucking guards, or the police, as you called them, the fucking guards that arrived, and I'd have the place burned to the ground. What the fuck did you do? They fucking tried to tie me up, and they came at me with a mask. I got enough of that when I was a young lad. Yeah, no, I think I've enough baitings got. That was it. Did you get bet as a child?
Did I get what?
Did you get beat up as a child?
No, I was bullied. I was bullied, but I never got into like any sort of fist fights or no, my parents were very good about never using like physical, you know, correction.
Yeah, see, there you go. I got all the fucking BDSM minus the kinky stuff as a child. I got the shy kicked out of me as a child.
Yeah. Oh, what that means to you and me are two different things.
Yeah.
Just you, like humor.
Yeah, you're mad. You're
Just like humor works the same way. We're talking about one thing that we can do. For me, it's like, oh, this is playtime. And for you, like, God, no, this is going to go back to my childhood.
This is it. This is it. You see, this is a perfect way to fucking do it, because for you, it'll be like, this is going to be great. For me, it'd be like, I'm going to fucking kill everyone when you untie me. I'm going to fucking... You're fucking dead. Look me in the eye. You're fucking dead.
You know, I could seriously see this being pretty fun. And it's like, it's not intense. Like, there's this thing called like just rope play where you get to, and it doesn't have to be sexual, but like just to like bind the hands and just see how people react to that. It's just a fun social experience. And I'm just imagining that you'd be a perfect subject for that.
I would fucking burn the house down. And as they were running out, I'd bait them back in. Get it? Get fucking back into the house.
Yeah.
I suppose this is a perfect way. This is a perfect joke on me, because I was held down as a child. So if you try to physically hold me with any form of anything, I would lose my fucking head.
Yeah. And it actually goes to the reason why I'm into this, because the outward sound, like sounding of BDSM and kink, just sounds like all fun and play. Mm. And it can actually be healing and address trauma. And so a lot of people actually are able to go back and figure out what's going on in their past.
Yeah,
and Bill will get some self-healing. So that's actually why I'm into all these things. And I realize it helps others.
You'll see me the next time doing a podcast in a fucking gimp mask.
Yes.
I actually, do you know something? For the crack.
Just send me your address. I'll send you one.
You know what's comical? Is I'm after turning my head as if the fuck I have one. Actually, I've masked.
That's right. Yeah, you can get a Bane mask.
A what mask?
A Bane mask. The picture on your left side.
Oh yeah. That's actually my wife's cousin drew that for me. I must get a gimp mask for the crack, just for the crack. The next time I do a podcast, just sit 1 second. Hold on there a sec. This is going to be a great 1 sec to end the podcast.
Whoa, yeah. That's
no.
All right, so this mask. This mask that Sean's wearing.
Fucking aged me.
Yeah. All right, that'd be pretty tough if you walked into a BDSM club like that.
I tell you, the longest podcast I've ever done. This is definitely going to be one for YouTube.
Okay.
Well, is this the type of thing you're on about? Is this the BDSM?
That would be a hard scene to perform if you're wearing this mask.
Wouldn't be able
to... I would probably be laughing the whole time. Which is the best way to go about it.
Yeah, this has been a podcast where I've aged 80 years. I just say, when I put on the mask and people ask me, how are you getting on? I should look at me, I'm only 43. You wouldn't even know I had kids.
And of course, so Sean's mask makes him look like he's died about 5 years ago, and just turned 101. Yeah, and of course, he put a golfer cap on top. That sealed the deal.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, I must put that up on YouTube. So that's the next time. Next podcast will be BDSM. I'll have to get a gimp mask.
I totally would. I mean, so there's a purpose to this. Why I like to talk about kinky BDSM is because there's a lot of people that have gone through some sort of experience in the past, and you can recollect that. If that's the right word, you can bring that up and resolve it, so it's no longer triggering. Very much like comedy, you know, for Dave Chappelle, it's triggering for a lot of trans women, but there is actually ways you can go into whatever is being triggered, trauma work, release it, and then just look at Dave Chappelle is like, okay, you know, it's like that. No, we've heard that joke, move on. And then just it takes the fun away from Dave.
That's it. Well, listen, I definitely want to come back and chat about BDSM, because I know I'm going to have to go and learn it. And I'm sure you want to chat about BDSM
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to do a podcast on it, a complete podcast on it, because I have to go on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is a comedy podcast, and I'm sure BDSM is a little bit deeper, and I want to learn about it because I don't know much about it. and I get the gimmick mask.
Yeah. You know, I'm even thinking about starting an organization and be able to include workshops around kink BDSM and some of the tantra teachings that I've learned and be able to combine and how they work together to help with healing. So stay tuned to that. Hopefully I'll be able to get that.
There is a lot of learning because the more we can talk, and I keep saying this, the more we can talk. And even though this podcast will get me in more trouble, especially with my kids, God help them when they're older. Very sorry, children, but we need to talk about every topic.
Please. By the time they hear this, it's just going to be one of those topics. They're like, yeah, we get that.
That's true, actually. By the time they listen to it, like they're only 5 and 8 in a few weeks. By the time they listen to this, it could be 4 or 5 years, depending. I don't know. But either way, it'll be just the norm. Yeah.
I mean, like to actually have a label around kink is like healing, you know, and people are like, yeah, that's just another form of therapy or just fun and play. And like people can use it for whatever. That'd be amazing, you know, to be able to have like another branch of way where we can address mental health in a very fun way and having fun while doing it.
Yeah.
And laughing.
And slap. Look, I look like the fucking Rascals with the little bit of me here, there.
There's been so many times I've been slapped on my ass and just crack up laughing because it's so ridiculous.
You didn't? No. I'd be killed. I'm not even going to say it. I've got myself into more trouble. You see, my brain automatically goes to the messing, the jokes, the fun. Sometimes people don't find them funny. Like my wife said this to me once. I'm going to say it because this is a joking podcast, right? I was messing with one of the kids and I threw them up in the air and they did nearly fall. And my wife said, Christ almighty, Sean, be careful. You could kill one of the children. Without thinking, I went, one less to feed. That is not even one bit funny, Sean. I thought it was one bit funny. I didn't think it was two bits funny. I definitely thought there was a bit of humor in it. I thought there was a bit of humor in that. She didn't find any humor in it. I thought it was a bit funny. Obviously, I don't want them fucking dead. But I just went, one less to feed. I said it like that, one less to feed. She goes, not even funny, Sean. I thought it was funny. That's why I get in trouble, because my humor is a little bit dark in that sense, you know.
That one's dark, Sean. Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I thought, like, you know. Uh-huh. I genuinely thought that was a funny when she said you could kill one of the kids. I went, right. In the context, because joking is in context. Threw the child up, it was only a baby at the time. Threw one of the children up in the air, came down. I threw her up really high, actually. And when he came down, I grabbed him because I knew he wasn't going to float away. And anyway, when I caught, Jesus Christ, Sean, you could kill one of the kids. I literally went like this, in this tone, I turned the head to the side, one less to feed. I thought that was funny.
Uh-huh.
That's why I get in trouble, you see.
Yes, that one will definitely get you in trouble from the moment.
I still think that wasn't one of my funnier jokes, but I thought it was funny. I thought, like, you know, she didn't see the humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as a mother, I don't think any mothers would see the humor in your child dying and you have one less to feed. But I still think that's funny. That's why I wanted a joke and podcast. My humor. Yeah. I do listen to some jokes and, like, I think they're hilarious as a joke. And then I'd be telling that joke to someone else and they're looking at me like I'm evil. And I'm like, did you not even think it was a little bit funny? No, 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 No. Didn't think it was one. And they wouldn't smile. They didn't even grin. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turn away going, I thought that was fucking hilarious. Which I do. But anyway. Okay. This is going to be an ongoing thing, I hope. Anyway. Because I'm loving this now. Because I'm learning.
I have all sorts of bag of tricks over here. That's my goal, is to just liberate myself and talk openly about these things that I've discovered on the fringe of society. It brings me joy. And yeah, I want to help. And why my not? Goal is to bring it to other people so that they can have fun.
That's it. And the people listening in are going to get to hear this and hopefully learn something new every day, you know?
Yeah.
Alice, I'm going to let you go because I want to go up and kick the shite out of kids.
No.
I'm only messing.
Consent between adults.
I'm only messing. It's the wife. I did say that on every Thursday. We get paid on a Thursday. Just a fucking other thing I'm going to get. Like, this is another thing I'm hanging myself out to dry. Every Thursday in work, when we're all around the clock-in machine to finish up, I do clap the hands. We get paid on a Thursday. I clap the hands and go, "Jeez, that was a great day." But you know what's going to top it? I'm going to go home now and kick the shit out of the wife and children. And the lads just look at me as I'm walking out the door. And I do be laughing and going, I do be cycling home laughing away going, I wonder, do they actually think I'm going to kick the shit out of my wife and kids? But I laugh. I don't. By the way, people are going, I can't believe he kicks the shit out of his wife and kids.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's just like, when we're talking about BDSM, I have to be careful because some people don't understand about the consent. And so that's where I'm like, okay, I have to.
That's why it's.
I can't laugh because I have to represent properly so people understand not to hurt one another. It's not hurting.
You don't want to end up like. I was thinking of this lad today as I was cleaning the house for the fourth time. Michael Hutchins? Remember he choked himself years ago. Oh, you're probably too young. Michael Hutchinson, INXS, they're an Australian band. He choked himself. Years ago, do you know the way they're trying to get themselves to a certain level and then
exfoliation? Trying to cut off the air supply. Yeah.
So he went too far. So listen, Alice, I'm definitely going to say goodbye because I've done more damage on this podcast for myself.
It felt good to get you right on the uncomfortable.
Yeah,
area. I think you're looking for that. I'm
I'm
blessed that I can provide that for you to figure out where your comfort zone lies.
Yeah. And in my head, do you know what's all in my head? All that's in my head is, I hope the fuck my wife doesn't listen to this one.
Oh, y'all gonna have a great conversation tonight.
She's gonna kill me. This won't be out now for a week or two. I have to schedule my podcast now for the first time. So this won't
wonderful.
Be yeah. Do you know why? I've given up social media. I'm literally not on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram. Nothing. So I haven't. So now I'm scheduling them, because I don't have that kind of flow of people coming to me anymore. So now I'm just scheduling them out.
Okay. Yeah. So you're sticking with the same folks you've interviewed and you're having follow ups.
If people are contacting me, different people are contacting me, but I'm just off social media. So now I'm just a few reasons I'm scheduling them. I had a wedding on last weekend, so I couldn't do one. A friend of mine who does a really good podcast, the Clockwork Junkie podcast, for anyone that's listening, he was telling me, what are you going to do if you get sick? And I never thought about that going, if you get sick, you know, because you like them to come out every week. So that's why, long story short, I'm kind of scheduling them out now, yeah.
Awesome. So
this technically is the 15th of October. Anyway, no, it'll be out in a couple of days. Alice, I am going to say goodbye. And thanks very much for coming on.
Of course. My pleasure. Thank you for hosting.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.